Hey, Neil, guess what?
Chris, what?
Another episode of All Consumed.
Man.
And this time we are in Wood Green, North London, Haringey, at a little restaurant called Direct Tantuni. Now, why are we here?
For the Tantuni.
What is a Tantuni?
It's a very good question. I assume it's like a little kebab style wrap. I think it was lamb. I'm not entirely sure.
It might be steak. Yeah.
What do you think? It was just something meaty in a little kind of cigar shaped wrap with. It was just delicious. Lots of parsley.
Lots of parsley.
Yeah, and some really great little pickled chili, some really good lemon juice, or fresh lemon to squeeze over it.
And quite affordable.
Yeah, very, very reasonable. I'd seen it pop up on social media. Uh-huh. I think it might be Victuals or someone along those lines in one of their deep dives into random bits of London and strange sandwiches and such like. I've got a feeling it was in that. Fairly sure I've seen it pop up on various bits of social media, people raving about it. And then, it was a list. We have a list of places that we're looking to kind of hit and record.
And this one was off my radar, but my friend of mine who visited from the States last year, he came across it researching what he wanted to do when he was here. And since we didn't make it when he was here, but since he told me about it, I really wanted to come. So I'll come back with him if he visits again.
And turnip juice.
And not much more to the menu.
Thanks.
And I really like that.
It was great.
And really affordable, good. I think, five?
Yeah, so like five.
For like a double roll?
Yeah, the rolls are the same, single roll and double roll are the same size, it's just the amount of bread wrapped around it. So I think, the double felt like a safer bet in terms of actually getting it to the mouth without, imagine I've thrown it down my shirt anyway. But
for a lunch, which means we had two or three extra.
Yes.
But, turnip juice.
It's not greed, it's research. It's
intense at first taste, but the turnip juice is nice going down.
And it's kind of.
I think it's probably good for you.
Yeah, it's quite salty. It feels quite refreshing. Feels like
sour.
Yeah. Well, that sort of isotonic, in a good way.
Okay.
I think, maybe. I don't know. Have to look it up. But it's oddly compelling.
All right.
But great little sandwich, great spot. Yeah. So what have you been up to?
Yeah.
What's new?
Not a whole lot this time, but some good stuff, mostly around East London. More tasty meat that I have had. I went to Chinese restaurant, My Old Place, in Spitalfields, just around the corner from Spitalfields Market. Heard it was good. And it was. Got some just standard sort of my favorite food from the Chinese menu. But what really made it stand out, and the reason I'm talking about it now, were the lamb skewers with a lot of cumin on them. And if you didn't hear that with the motorcycle going back, a lot of cumin on them. And they were so good. And I would go back just for a really juicy, kind of just melt in your mouth, right amount of fat on it without getting in the way of the meat.
It's been interesting seeing that. It's like I think it's being billed as like the sort of the second Chinatown or the third Chinatown in London, because there's a lot of Chinese students.
Noodles, bars on there, yeah.
A lot of students have come over, and a lot of new restaurants have opened around, Spitalfields and Petticoat Lane and all around there. And some really, really interesting place. I've been to a couple of dumpling places and a couple of noodle places there, which have been terrific. Two or three new dumpling places on Brick Lane as well, which I really want to.
There's a Hong Kong breakfast place on Brick Lane I want to try.
Yes.
Hold that thought.
Add that one to the list.
Yeah. And it's right across from Bagel Bake, the great classic Brick Lane bagel shop, which I've been to a couple times recently since we did our last episode. And it's not the greatest bagel place, even in London, but it is an institution, open 24 hours, good, cheap food. And I've been going there in the morning on my way to work when I need to work in the city on my bike. And it's just a nice little way to just sort of punctuate the journey, have a nice lunch, and then or a nice breakfast, and then move on. Brick Lane is fascinating when it's early morning during the week. There's just no one around, and a few people seem like characters. So that's nice.
I've never been there first thing in the morning. I've been there like very late at night or like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's a really
I've always been there
crowd. Yeah.
At the end.
End of
but not
the
at
night.
The beginning of my day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. And the reason I've even been going that way is because Google Maps has been sending me in a different direction to work. When I first started cycling to work, I relied on it. And then for the past really 2 years, I don't pay attention to Google Maps. I know how to get to work, and it's an opportunity to not look at a screen. But the other day, all my pockets were filled. My bag was really full, so I didn't really have a place to put my phone other than the mount on my bike. Mm-hmm. So I just went ahead and typed directions in on Google Maps, and it sent me on like this classic tour of East London. I went down like through Victoria Park, Broadway Market, Columbia Road, down Brick Lane, and like I was like, well, I'll stop and get a bagel since I'm doing this.
Was it cross-reference with our list?
Oh, no. Yeah. It was really nice.
Or it's just learn what you like.
And it was essentially the same amount of time as the normal express route tend to take. So that was nice to see. I can be leisurely and enjoy the sights, not worry about traffic too much, and still get to work on
that's
time.
It's good to meander.
Thank you, Google Maps.
Good to meander a little. It's nice finding places that are on sort of familiar routes. We've discovered, been a few times, and because Kentish Town Station had been closed for a long time.
Yes.
Hadn't made it down to that neck of the woods for a while. Had cause to go back to Kossoff's, the bakery. It's about a 3-minute walk from Kentish Town Station. It's fantastic. It's an absolutely fantastic little bakery, but it is now, it's so easy to get to, it's very dangerous. I can sit at my desk and think, I quite fancy a miso swirl or a ham and egg croissant, or a ham and cheese croissant. And about 22 minutes later, I can be eating said miso swirl or ham and cheese croissant, which is really quite dangerous. They've had quite a lot of my money of late, but it's phenomenal. Millie Kenny Ryder, who I'm sure you know as well, wrote a fantastic book about sort of British bakeries, and Kossoff's is in there. The lamination there, the viennoiserie, is absolutely stunning. Nice people, good coffee, nice little tables outside, very friendly. There's a 2 or 3 sandwiches of the day.
Recording friendly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. No, we really should go. The cookies, tried one of those the other day. Really, really good. Some really interesting stuff. Haven't tried their bread yet, bizarrely. So may have to give that a shot at some point. But yeah, really, it's wonderful. So if you ever find yourself in that neck of the woods,
I'll keep it
heartily recommend it.
I actually had a bit of my own miso swirl recently. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I live with a vegan, and she went out of town to stay with a friend, so that meant me and the cat were going to have a meat fest.
Nice.
So I roasted us a chicken.
I love the fact you roasted your cat a chicken.
It is literally half for the cat. And I made sort of a miso maple sashimi rub.
Nice.
For a lot of lemon in it, too. And it was really good.
Nice.
Yeah, I made a nice miso gravy to go with it too, and that was quite nice as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I stuffed it with carrots, and they got all that sort of nice caramelized miso-y flavor to them, and the carrots were just as good.
Miso make like carrots is a lovely chicken. Lovely combo.
So
you spoil my carrots. Nice.
And I just kind of improvised a recipe, but if you type miso roasted chicken, you'll find all sorts of ideas for the basic ingredients.
Now the cat's just going to be tapping on the shoulder on a regular basis or handing you jars of miso.
I don't know if they can actually, you know what, they can taste salt. They can't taste I don't even think they can taste spice or like heat, but they can taste like salt, they can taste fat. But like no sweet or anything like that.
That's interesting.
I think, yeah.
I have to look that one up.
Unlike us, who have we can taste all sorts of things. You tasted
sorts of
anything else good recently?
It's been an interesting mix of things this week. I was invited to the lovely Blacklock, who we may have mentioned on this before, and I'm sure many people have already been either for the all-in on the chops, fantastic deal, get three little snacks, a big plate of the chops that they're selling. So it's always served on a piece of flatbread, which has then soaked up all the meaty juices, yeah. Which is possibly the best thing on the plate. Or the Sunday lunch, again, all in, see a little lamb, little beef, little pork, massive Yorkshire puddings, masses of spuds and carrots and all sorts of other stuff, and ludicrous gravy. And I think someone there has spotted the fact that they have trimmings of really good meat and they make a really good gravy. So if they could just master pastry, they could make a very good pie. And they are now making a very good pie.
Oh, yeah.
So that's popped up. It doesn't appear on the menu. It is on the, well, they have kind of chalkboards on the pillars and stuff dotted around. But yeah, I think it's only in the evenings. But yeah, it's a beef and stout pie at Blacklock. Heartily worth, I would heartily recommend it. Really worth seeking out. Downside is they don't do mash, which is a vague disappointment, but they do very good. Sort of dripping beef dripping chips and same sensibly priced drinks list. It's a really nice little addition to what they do. Just proper and old school, and that was slightly more conventional than the other meal had this week. I know we were discussing earlier, because I know, and I'm sure you've mentioned it on this before, you've been to the Faroe Islands.
It's incredible. One of the most interesting places, most beautiful places I've ever been, yeah.
It's somewhere on my wish list. And the Faroe Islands Tourist Board invited me to a dinner at the fabulous Carousel facility. just to prove we are in London, I guess somebody's just had their phone nicked. So Carousel is this facility where they bring in guest chefs, they do food, chefs from all around the world, and a lot of tourist boards bring people over and host dinners there. They had, I won't attempt to pronounce in Faroese, it's a restaurant called can be Rist or Roost or Rest, or as R, that A combined thing, ST, Rist, Roost. Bizarrely, it is run, it's a Mexican chef.
Okay.
Whose name I will have to look up. Apparently there's quite a big Thai community on the Faroe Islands as well. But this guy has come over. His name is Sebastian Jimenez. And he's doing, so it's Mexican-influenced cooking with Faroese ingredients of fermentation. So on that, on the Mexican squad, that involves sort of pickled green chilies and things along those lines. So we did have, it was a very fairly conventional sort of cod dish, with cod terrine, fermented sweet potato aguachile, and then we get into the fermented meats, which was interesting. So there was a fermented lamb sausage, langoustine tartare, a fermented and wind-dried lamb leg beignet with smoked honey, which was phenomenal.
That sounds nice.
And then we had fulmar, which is a distant relative of the albatross, sort of a seabird. I saw it as revenge for the time a seagull nicked some chips out of my hand. It was satisfying from a revenge perspective. Not necessarily rushing back for more fulmar in any way, shape, or form. It's quite, just kind of gamey. And
because, revenge is a dish.
Yeah. That was with and just to make that even more interesting, sorry, I should have picked up on that one. It was served with pickled potatoes, leek foam, and a demi-glass of lamb feet.
Wow.
So pretty full on. The dessert was the
chef's. They got a lot of time to think there in the Faroe Islands, especially in the winter.
The chef's wife.
What can I do with these lamb feet?
Yeah, the chef's wife is the pastry chef. She said she'd been walking around the fair and saw people baling sort of hay and straw, or baling grass for sort of winter usage. and thought that could be an interesting flavor. So yeah, we had a fermented grass ice cream.
I've had something like that before. Yeah,
it's very yeah. chamomile-like. Yeah. It's actually quite sweet.
Or like, you ever had a like an egg that's been like dropped in the hay?
Yes,
and like stays mm-hmm. there. Get absorb some of that flavor. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So that was actually worked really, really well. So yeah, there were a couple of challenging things. Couple
she
of really
said,
interesting.
Hey, that's a good.
That's
idea.
A good idea. And then we also had a musical guest. A lady called Leah Campman at Leah Campman KAMPMANN on Instagram. She's recorded apparently a couple of albums in English before. Mm-hmm. She's just released the first Faroese language album. Played a few acoustic songs from that. It was just lovely.
Did she have lamb?
Just lovely. I don't know if she ate. No, she just, yeah. She very tight shoes. Very tight shoes, yeah. but yeah, a really lovely voice, lovely music. Had actually ordered the CD before I left.
Why?
Sadly, she didn't have any copies with her. But yeah, just a really lovely, if you've ever heard, and the fact that it's in Faroese doesn't seem to matter. There's something quite
magical.
Lyrical and magical about the music. There's a Hebridean singer called Julie Fowlis, much the same. So she sings in the Gaelic tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what she's singing about, but again, her albums are wonderful, her performances are phenomenal. And this was very much in that style. So
no way.
There is a post on my Instagram, which we'll come to in due course, of this meal, and there was, and I have managed to underscore it with a track by Leah Campman. So mm-hmm. that is, so you get a little glimpse of stuff there. But yeah, that's so that was an interesting double bill of regular food and really quite unexpected food. But yeah, intrigued to go. It does sound
if
an
you get
amazing
a chance
place.
To, it's great. Yeah, you need a buddy to go with you.
Yes,
I'm great. I'm great.
We will try and work it out.
It's a really amazing place.
Yeah, it's yeah, no, it sounded really intriguing. So yeah, we'll hopefully make that happen. What else is on your list, mate?
Well, I just want to big up Locksmith.
Fantastic.
Yes, so London Locksmith Service, I think is the name if you Google it, or check this number out, 07533-323-680. My key broke off in the lock to my side shed where I keep my bike and some other stuff, and means I didn't get to ride to work.
I was going
to
say, it never happens when you've locked it away.
Yeah.
No, it's when you're in a rush.
No, ready to go to work.
Yeah.
Couldn't go, so I had to take the boat, train. No big deal. But this guy
came
out on a bank holiday weekend. He was recommended by a friend and cheaper than the locksmith I'd already scheduled, so I canceled that. Really quick, really friendly. Price was nice, nice guy. And I think he did a better job than people who installed the first one. And I also think he used a better quality product. And just, you know, it's hard to find good service folks.
Yeah, it is.
It's so I
it
just want to
no, big
say
those,
London
big
locksmith
those people up.
Service. I think they mostly work in East London, but mm-hmm. he was great. The guy's name is Steve. Thanks, Steve.
Excuse me.
Getting all checked up there.
Excuse me. That was, yeah. I was touched. Touched by that. Sorry. Actually, it's something, I think, since we last recorded, I went to another gig. A lady called Acantha Lang, saw her supporting, there's a phenomenal band called John Cleary and the Absolute Monster Gentlemen. John Cleary is a British guy who was raised on kind of New Orleans jazz music and funk music,
mm-hmm.
and he went off to New Orleans and has become a phenomenal session player over there, and now has his own project called the Absolute Monster Gentlemen. Phenomenal band. They're playing, I believe they're supporting Bonnie Raitt at the Royal Albert Hall in June, but doing a little tour of their own if you get a chance. It's a brilliant party. A John Cleary concert is a brilliant party. And saw him at the Jazz Cafe last year, supported by somebody who's done the reverse, say, a New Orleans-born singer who now lives in London. The name's Acantha Lang. I believe it's acanthalang.com. Absolutely the real deal. Phenomenal voice. Little hint of Gladys Knight to the vocal. Great stage presence. Funny, amiable. Really, really great music. First album. She's just crowdfunding for a second album, which I'd need to go and donate to. Went to a place called the Courtyard Theatre, kind of tucked around the back of Old Street. Never been there before. Nice little venue, very intimate and stuff. But yeah, brilliant. I'd seen her at the Jazz Cafe with two musicians. This was like the full seven-piece band.
All right. Nice.
And man, they can make some noise.
Yeah.
They can really make some noise. Yeah, really, really entertaining night. Great singer. Hopefully one of these people who will actually sort of break out from this kind of internet netherworld of you get like a little core of fans and stuff. But yes, really, really good. Trevor Nelson's a fan, Craig Charles is a fan, and they both play their stuff on their radio shows. But yeah, if you get a chance, heartily, heartily recommend Acantha Lang.
Acantha Lang.
Yep.
Okay, cool. And speaking of noise and music, what's that in background now?
Is that Eno? These boys do follow us around.
Yes.
Is that Eno? The Year Was Strange.
Year Was Strange about Eno.
Which is a little hint that we should
get out.
We should settle up and get out of this place. My social media, the place I found most pretty much just Instagram.
Instagram.
So Dine Hard. As ever, film and terrible film and food puns are a speciality. There'll be photos of the Faroe Islands. There'll be a pie up in due course. There are some links to Acantha Lang up there as well.
Okay.
So, and what about you?
This podcast is on Instagram. All Consumed Pod. At All Consumed Pod. And let's leave it at that for now.
Excellent.
Thanks. Yep.
Cheers, mate.